This episode of The Boat Geeks is sponsored by The Boater's Guide, a free app for Pacific Northwest boaters. The Boater's Guide is adventure and information right at your fingertips, right when you need it. Find your happy place with The Boater's Guide, a free download on your phone or tablet in the App Store and Google Play.
All right, on this episode of The Boat Geeks, we have Jake Beattie from the Northwest Maritime Center. And talk about a busy man.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I look at what he does, and I wonder if he feels like he's herding cats.
Oh, for sure. He's got to be. But he does it well.
Yeah. And you know, you say that, and it's like hard. It's hard to control things when you're herding cats. But no. He has got...
He's successful.
Really wonderful people
yeah.
doing all these different things at the Maritime Center.
Who, like, obviously, we had Jesse on. We had one of his people. Yeah, he's just surrounded himself with the right people, good people, and the things that the Northwest Maritime Center is accomplishing and their growth over the last few years has just been phenomenal, especially considering we just went through COVID.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just out there doing the programs. My daughter's been involved with sailing and, you know, learning through the Maritime Center. It's just such a great program, a real strong point for Port Townsend and the boating community around here. We love everything that the Northwest Maritime Center does.
And I think most people will probably... think of the race to Alaska,
which came up with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was his baby. He thought of it.
It's amazing. And he's an exceptional writer.
Yes.
The writing on the Northwest Maritime Center website has an edge to it. It has humor to it. It's self-effacing. And I've told him, I think, you know, you should win awards for your writing. And that's just one element of what Jake does.
Oh, for sure.
At the Northwest Maritime Center.
We get into it. He is absolutely an exceptional human being. And he is a wonderful person to have at the helm. And here he is, Jake Beattie.
From beautiful Port Townsend, Washington, a Victorian seaport on the Salish Sea, and recorded aboard the Motor Vessel Traveler. It's the Boat Geeks with Darren and Darren.
I'm daydreaming of the day. I'm not wasting my time. Don't wait till I come alive. Sail away. I'm gonna sail away.
Welcome to the next episode of the Boat Geeks. I am your host, Darren.
And I'm your other host, Darren.
And today we have a very special guest joining us. It's Jake Beattie, CEO of the Northwest Maritime Center. Welcome, Jake.
Hey, thanks. And if it's helpful, I'm happy to be called Darren for the day.
We did have a 3D podcast with another Darren just recently. But yeah, we can go with Jake today.
Yeah.
Jake, it's great to have you here. We've been talking to you for years about doing a podcast and having you on as a guest. So it only takes, if anybody out there is doing a podcast, it only takes a few years to get Jake, who's always busy, as a guest on your podcast. But thank you for showing up.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Totally appreciate it. So usually what we do, because we are the Boat Geeks, we love boats, everything about boats, Darren and I, we like to ask our guests what they like about boats or what your experience is about boats. So Jake, what do you love about boats?
That is how long do we have for this question?
Open-ended.
Well, it's already ticking away.
I have a pretty deep relationship with boats, and it's one that it's like with each year I keep getting one layer of archaeology closer to whatever the truth is in terms of what really my connection with boats is. But it starts with something like boats are a monument or monuments really to like human ingenuity, human relationship with nature, like the iteration of humans doing things they're not really supposed to do. In a way that I think in my younger days, I would say it was human triumph. And as I get closer to wherever I am now, I think it's something like in our best moments, we can evolve along with this incredible natural universe that we're a part of and find ways of being in relationship with it. And for me, I continue to discover that that's why I want to be on the water. And that's the piece of especially this part of the Pacific Northwest that I want to work to connect people with. It's that we live in this incredibly dynamic, damn near spiritual set of saltwater waterways that have defined human existence here for 13,000 years. And the closer I can get to that, and the closer I can get other people to that, like, I feel like it's like me getting closer to who humans are supposed to be here.
That's pretty cool.
That is a great answer. I feel like I've heard similar expressions from pilots about doing things that we weren't necessarily meant to do. Obviously, fly, float on the water, cross the oceans.
They're all fans of Bernoulli's principle in one fashion or another.
Bernoulli's principle. Let's bring this up on screen right now. What is Bernoulli's principle?
I think in layman's terms, it's the pressure differential, whether it's on a wing or a sail, where you have low pressure and high pressure, which drives either the boat forward or the plane up or down. So
good call. I like that from both of you. So do you own a boat of your own?
I do. I do indeed.
You want to talk about it at all?
Sort of. I am in transition between boats. The boat, my perfect boat is in hospice at the moment.
Oh yeah.
And it's been our family boat for a long time. It's a 35-foot New Haven Sharpie. It's a 35-foot sailboat, flat bottomed and two mast, and it was designed for being a work boat in the oyster farms in like the mid 18th century.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a Chesapeake Bay.
Was similar, but this was in Long Island Sound version. So it's So it's six feet of beam, 8 inches of draft, 15-foot long centerboard, and it's just simplicity. You're 8 inches off the water. Like it's fantastic, and it needs a new deck, keel, bottom, and sails.
So I understand
it's a wood boat.
Sort of wanting to talk about it. Yeah, and I do understand the wood boat dilemma. So
we bought another boat. It was supposed to be the interim boat because I wasn't ready to let go. And this boat was a...
Hear that, sweetie?
A 24-foot cat boat. Mm-hmm. So fiberglass cat boat. I was like, this is the perfect transition boat for me. It's still sail. Mm-hmm. It's got a cabin for the first time. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
It was so slow. And then the steering broke. Like, so I got to sail it on its transit from Olympia. And then it broke. And I've hated it ever since. And... I actually called Joe Klein at 48 North on my transit. It's like, I think I have a piece I'd like to write. It's called "I Hate Boats." I hate my new boat, and I might hate boating. So we'll see how it goes.
One of those experiences. Yeah. I understand. Well, then, so I understand that's a sensitive subject. Let's turn it to something a little bit more positive.
Thank you.
Which is the fleet of boats that the Maritime Center has.
So many
boats. So you can kind of say they're your boats as well, right? There's some positive areas of boat ownership out there with the Maritime Center. The one boat I am totally familiar with is the Admiral Jack, or one of the boats that I'm very familiar with, the tour boat. I've been on that once. My family's been on it, and that's somewhat of a new boat for the Maritime Center, yeah?
Yeah, we bought it. It's a Power Cat we bought a couple years ago thanks to a very generous donor who saw the potential for it in our programs to be both something that we use during the school year, sort of a floating science classroom.
Yeah.
And we use that up and down Puget Sound, and both in support of our programs in Port Townsend as well as our support of our programs kind of in the greater Seattle area. And then in the summer, it turns into an excursion boat where I run a maritime engagement and education nonprofit in Port Townsend, which is arguably the most maritimely dense city that I care to be associated with anyway. Yeah. And one of my perennial problems with my job was people would walk in and say, "Hey, how do I get on the water?" And my answer was, "Well, you could get on that whale watch boat for $100 a person, and they just left though, or I don't know." So, what in the summer it does is, it's a 45-foot Power Cat that was a former foot ferry between Port Orchard and Bremerton that we just repurposed, and now it does. It's a low cost way for people to get on the water in Port Townsend Bay in the summers.
And it's a great, fun little boat, and highly recommend going for a ride if you're around there. My family, I believe this. I don't know if this was the only one that you had, but if it is, then we've also gone out on Onward, which is the 26-foot rowing. Dory, was there another one?
I mean, we have several boats that kind of fit that bill, but Onward is the one that you're remembering it correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. That's rowing and sailing, and we did a little bit of both. We've gone out twice, I believe, with my family. A lot of fun, kind of a, you know, an older experience, and a lot of imagination in my mind, these things coming off the tall ships and rowing aboard with their, you know, whatever they have to trade you know, their clubs to get some more sailors, hire some more sailors. So that's a fun boat. And then my daughter, we'll get into some of the events and the outreach that you do with the local community. But one of the areas that my daughter's been in your sailing camps every summer, and she's been taking out the Opties and the FJs.
Yeah, is that correct?
Yep. Yeah. So she's been learning on both of those, and you have a bunch of those. And then obviously you have some inflatables and some other. Actually, you have a sailboat too, right?
We have several keelboats, yes.
Yeah. So expand on the fleet from what I know.
I mean, essentially, if there's a way to get people on the water, we're trying, either we have a boat to do that, right, or we're trying to get one to do that. Now, we tend not to do as much in the paddlecraft world, but we have, you know, we have the sailing dinghies, like you mentioned, for our summer camps and sailing team. We host the Port Townsend area sailing team that travels around and competes and does great things. We have instructional boats for adults as well. So we have several keel boats. We have a boat that is really designed for group instruction. And if anyone wants to ride on or learn on one of, I feel like I've sailed 6 perfect boats in my life. And the Maritime Center 2-3 years ago was donated one of them called Levion Rose. And it was Paul Gartside designed, Beth Jesperson up in Canoe Cove in BC built it. And it's rare for me to say something is perfect, but this boat is perfect. Wow. It's absolutely perfect. And it sails like a dream.
Well, that's saying a lot coming from you for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, pretty much now you're able to answer that question no matter what. If somebody walks in and goes, how can I get on the water? There's something.
And depending on the time of year, like down to like we built a few, they're flat bottom. I think they came out of a Glen L design, but they're flat bottom, like side wheel paddle wheels that we've had during the Wooden Boat Festival, which I know we're going to talk about later.
Yes.
But I actually got to race Congressman Derek Kilmer in the Wooden Boat Festival. And these things that are like, they're designed for 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
And he's like, he came to the festival one year and he's like, I was like, what do you want to see, Congressman? He's like, I want to do something that my daughters would think is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I was like, right this way, sir.
You know, I've always thought that those little paddle boats would be a great educational tool to show power boaters that have twin engines how the twin engines can work. Because you just go one, you can
side wheelers. Side wheelers are just in general, whether regardless of the side of the boat, the most maneuverable boat there is. And so it might create a sense of false optimism, unless your props are truly outboard.
Well, yeah, some people just have a tough time realizing how to use twin props.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it won't work.
Well,
it can be fun to try.
Yeah, it sounds like something to try. Now, can people donate to the fleet? Is that something that you guys are open to?
You mean in terms of boats?
Boats, I'm talking about. Or, I mean, if somebody wants to donate funds directly to maintaining your fleet or something like that. But I meant boats, yeah.
Funds are always preferred, to be honest with you.
Of course.
You know, we do have a boat donation program, and 90% of the boats that we actually accept, you know, we have to do so we're going to accept this. First, we're going to see whether the programs we're going to do fit the boat. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be honest with people. Like, a lot of people, and I understand, like my hopes and dreams are in my boat. And as soon as it went into hospital, it's like, who can I find? It's a
right
program. But like,
of course,
unless it really fits the profile of learning opportunities we're creating, then it's most likely going to get sold and we're going to find we're going to find the right home for it. Cause we really care about making sure that we can pass it on. And often what we do is we sell boats at a really affordable price, because we're really interested in the access into the activity of the sport, whatever you want to call it. But it's probably 1% of the boats that we accept actually end up being part of our instructional fleet.
Well, that makes total sense. All right, well, let's talk about the Northwest Maritime Center. Your mission on your website is, the mission of the Maritime Center is to engage and educate people of all generations in traditional and contemporary maritime life in a spirit of adventure and discovery. I thought that mission statement was perfect, because just my experience of living here in Port Townsend for the last 6 years and what the Maritime Center has done and provided for us, my family, and for the community, and the growth that you've done over the last few years, I feel like it just absolutely nails that mission statement.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, so, and especially the spirit of adventure and discovery. I've seen that with my daughter. So, you know, she started taking your sailing classes, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And it was really, she discovered sailing. And so I got to see that. And then she's gone back year after year. And we'll get into your outreach. But I also found the history of the Maritime Center very interesting. And my understanding is that it kind of the seed of it began with the first wooden boat festival in 78. Does that sound right?
I think it was 77. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So like, as I like to think about it, it's like the headwaters of who we are now started when all those hippies got around that campfire and decided to throw a party for themselves. And it became the Wooden Boat Festival, and 46 festivals later, minus however you do COVID, it's still going. It's still the biggest one in North America. And the history kind of goes, and this is inaccurate, but it's good enough for narrative purposes.
This is a Reader's Digest version.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, it's close enough. Yeah. You know, 10 years of Wooden Boat Festival led to then some programming for young people, which 10 years after that led to, hey, maybe we should find a home, which 10 years after that, the Northwest Maritime Center campus was built. And then we've grown into our campus since then. So it's, as of now, we're, I mean, it used to be we were really festival driven and we do things around the festival. And now the joke of the Maritime Center is we'll do it in the slow season, because like there actually isn't a slow season. Yeah. We're almost busier now than we are in August.
Wow.
Almost, not quite.
Yeah, but that's amazing that you have been able to take on so much and employ so many people and stay busy year-round and provide the services that you do for the community and people interested in sailing, people that are interested in bettering themselves, anything. I mean, it's kind of overwhelming, honestly, going to the website, because there is so much there.
How many different organizations are under the Northwest Maritime Center umbrella?
Well, it's one organization. So we it's not like a confederacy, I guess.
Right.
There's some things that are, I guess, notable in that they seem like their own thing. So we have a set of educational programs that are just for boaters and for people who want to build a boat and for people who want to come to our boat shop in Port Townsend and mess around or build their own project. Joel, our boat shop manager, created a program called Boat Shop with Benefits. So
nice.
If you have a
so good.
He's married and yeah. faithful. So like, don't read too much into that. But it's, you know, if you have a project and you have the idea of how to get it done, but maybe not the tools or the expertise, you can come and, you know, we have experts around. So we have that set of programs. We also have some navigation programs. We have a simulator that's for recreational boaters and for we actually right now today there's someone who's training for their pilot's exam. So they want to become a professional Puget Sound pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're up there on our simulator, you know, making sure they know how to use the software so it doesn't get in the way of, you know, showing their aptitude.
Sure.
We've got on the water sailing classes. Mm-hmm. We have a library that is actually part of the public library system. So you can go on. Oh, I went online yesterday for the first time. Imagine this, 12 years, 13 years in, I've never actually checked out a book. I've always just gone in, but yeah. I did that yesterday. You can check out a book with your regular library card.
Oh, that's so cool.
We have we rent space for people with rowboats. So if you have a rowboat and you're in the area, you can, you know, store it there. There's a couple of rowing clubs that work out of there. We have a marine thrift store. So when I was coming up as, you know, an Outward Bound instructor who was living on the boat I was building, like there was no way I could afford to pay rack rate for bottom paint or marine hardware, anything really, rigging, sails. So like these consignment stores were really important to me. And they all kind of went out of business all at the same, like it was like 2012 and they had like all four of the big ones had gone out of business. So we started a different version. So it's a donation only around like, how do we just get more people doing stuff on the water, especially if they can't afford to pay rack rate at West Marine or whatever. 48 North is part of us. Mm-hmm. Sailing magazine of record, I think, in the Puget Sound, Pacific Northwest. We have a whole set of races and rallies. So,
I do want to get to your events in terms of So 48 North, we saw them at the Seattle Boat Show just a few days ago.
I've been reading that magazine since the late 90s.
God, yeah.
In Portland, Oregon.
Totally. I mean,
we used to go to West Marine, and when the issue would come out, and dream about coming up to the San Juan Islands, those of us that live down there.
All right, so there's 48 degrees north, and then also you recently acquired the Swan Hotel.
Yeah, we did. Like all nonprofits that are maritime education focused.
Of course.
Of course you have a hotel.
They buy a Victorian hotel.
Who doesn't do that?
Yeah.
But I feel like that is such a perfect fit, again, for the Maritime Center, because you have all these events. You have people coming out during the summer for a lot of the camps and so forth. So it makes sense to me that you would acquire it. It's right next door. So tell me a little bit about that, how that came about and how it's worked out for.
Well, the origin story went something like this. I was at a retirement party for Port Townsend's, outgoing city manager, David Timmons, and the owner of the hotel came up to me and said, kind of whispered in my ear, said, "Jake, we're thinking about selling a hotel and we think you should buy it." And then I laughed as loud as I could at them. I said, "That is the dumbest idea I've ever heard."
Yeah.
Luckily, I have really smart board members. And it's, for a couple of reasons. One, it's the only privately owned adjacent property to the Northwest Maritime Center's Port Townsend campus. So, we, right at this point, we've got 80 plus employees on an ongoing basis. We continue to find things to do that makes us grow. If we're going to grow our facility, it's probably the only spot we can do that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a hedge against the future, but it's a going business concern. And one of the opportunities that I saw, both for our programs and whenever I think about what we're doing, I always think about sort of what's the Port Townsend GDP, like what's the bigger effect on our community? And before we owned a hotel, we could really only do as many programs as we can afford, because even if they break even, they don't really break even. Most education programs, you lose money on them. You do them for the mission. Mm-hmm. Hotel rooms make money. So if there's a way for us to pair the thing that makes money with the things that loses money, all of a sudden the question becomes not how many can we afford to do, but how many do people want?
Yeah.
And if we do them mostly when there's an opportunity for rooms in the Swan, which, it's that after the Wooden Boat Festival in September, all the way through, through the winter and into the spring, mm-hmm. we can bring new visitors to Port Townsend, mm-hmm. and that actually helps the whole downtown core as well. Yeah. So it's a win-win-win-win-win.
Yeah, we like those.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so with the center itself and this whole facility that you have. So this, I think it began construction in 2008, finished construction in 2009, and has just been a hub of boating activity and education in the Port Townsend area. Obviously, I said my daughter's been involved in the camps, and I've even been involved in some of the adult education programs there. A lot of amazing facilities and resources for people. Can you kind of expand a little bit on the education side of things and where that might be going for the Maritime Center now and in the future?
Sure. I mean, it's interesting. And a conclusion I came to a few years ago is that while there are pieces of our organization that are done by other organizations around the country and the region, we're the only one that I know that regardless of how young you are or how old you are or how mm-hmm. new to boating you are or like how professional you are, like there is an experience and an education offering for you all along that journey, so that once you're in the flow, you can come in and come out, but there's something for you now and there's a next step. Mm-hmm. And so for that, for us, that means we have fun programs for youth and adults, right? We have summer camps for people as young as 5. We have summer camps for adults who come and they show up next to a pile of wood, and they have in the beginning of the week, they have a pile of wood and a half a clue. And at the end of the week, there's a boat, right? Like there's some fantastic things for anyone to do who's just getting into it. A big part of our focus in the recent years has really been doubling down on the stuff we do with public schools. For a long time, and I'm going to get their years wrong, but let's say conceptually 17 years, mm-hmm. We've been working with every single seventh grader in Jefferson County who come to the Maritime Center for a 1 to 2 week experience we call the Maritime Discovery Program. Mm-hmm. And our instructors work with their teachers to not just create a field trip, but really to create a learning immersion experience where what they're learning in their regular classes are informed and animated and contextualized by a maritime lens. Mm-hmm. And so algebra class isn't just algebra for algebra's sake. Mm-hmm. It's a navigation problem where you're doing time, speed, distance programs, the problems on a chart on
the real world. My daughter, when am I going to use this?
Totally.
Yes.
Well, so in algebra class, you do that. In PE mm-hmm. class, you actually go on those open boats you mentioned, mm-hmm. where it's a rowing and sailing boat. It's a replica of a 18th century ship's boat. Mm-hmm. And you're learning how to row and sail, but then you row and sail the navigation plan you made in algebra class. Right. Wow. Then you come and learn about the history. There's a boat that's built. So it's this, when am I going to learn this? You're going to need to know it like tomorrow, mm-hmm. because you're going to have to actually test what you did and apply it. I love it because it's actually how the world works, right? Like mm-hmm. the subjects, it's not like you do math in your job and then you do English.
Right.
Right. Like it's all the reasoning and all communicating all at once. Right. So that's been going on for a long time. And on that, we built the Port Townsend Maritime Discovery Schools project, which created a blue thread of learning through all of the grades. And culminating in a high school program that we now host, it's called Port Townsend Maritime Academy. It's a full year, half day program that's now in its fourth year.
Wow.
Any high school student who can come and they get high school credits, they get industry certifications. So they get their first aid, they get some, like they're doing damage control drills and firefighting, small outboard maintenance projects, small boat handling. They I don't know if they still do. They used to get their food handler's permit because the idea is
galley work, right?
Totally. Like when you're a new deckhand, right. You're probably making food. It would be great if you didn't kill everybody.
That's a good start. That sounds so cool. That's something I would like to do now.
It's pretty great. When I go to work in the morning and there's like 17 students in like full-on Gumby suits in the bay doing like survival drills, I'm like, that's cool. They're doing school right now. How cool.
Yeah. So if somebody is interested in this program, just head to the website at NW Maritime Center, or no, nwmaritime.org, and they can find out about the high school program there.
Port Townsend Maritime Academy. It's actually a collaboration between us and something called the West Sound Skills Center, which is out of Bremerton School District, actually.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
And any student who can get here can be a part of it. Like we've had students as far south as Gig Harbor. Nice. We've had students from Coopville who would take the ferry over in the morning. Yeah. It was super cool.
Well, it's worth it. Sounds like I would do it too. Now, a lot of events throughout the year. Obviously, everybody knows Race to Alaska. We'll get there. But coming up, you have the Shipwrights Regatta, February 24th. What is that about? That had an interesting history. It just started off with a bunch of shipwrights wanting to go out and sail, right? And turned into an annual event?
It's an annual event. It's like, I feel like every other year, it's either a really great sail or like it is the stormiest, coldest.
Whoa. Well, that's sailing, right? That's
it's especially sailing in February though, right?
Yeah. Of course.
But it's a really fun event, and one where kind of the oral history on that event is that, the oral tradition, I guess, is that if you show up to the skipper's meeting, you'll get on a boat. Yeah. So it doesn't if you're just interested enough to show up, like the whole idea is to have fun and get people out sailing. So it's a fun one.
Then you have the 7048 on May 31st. That's actually my birthday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So what is the 7048?
7048 is an event we started kind of in the wake of Race to Alaska. And it's a human power or muscle power only race from Tacoma to Port Townsend. It's 70 miles. You get a maximum of 48 hours regardless of weather.
So you're in kayaks, canoes, paddleboards.
Pedal contraptions.
The contraptions are the ones that stick out in memory for me.
I love the contraptions.
Yeah, right? People are so creative, and it's like this mix between art and functionality. And
in its best days, yes.
Yes. Well put. And then, like we mentioned, the Race to Alaska. This begins June 9th. There's no necessarily a close date on that.
I think the close date this year is, there is a finite close date.
Okay.
I think this year it's like 4th of July-ish.
Yeah. So that is a big deal. We just had Jesse, Race Boss, on a recent podcast. And speaking of which, he launched his R2AK podcast.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can go listen to the Jesse Weigel episode, and you'll get a lot of details about it. But tell us your experience with the Race to Alaska and your feelings on that amazing and incredibly dangerous race.
Knock wood. Everybody knock
wood.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, I mean, I'm the guy who thought it up, so it's like my first child.
Okay, so we tried to get this out of Jesse, kind of the origin story. Since you thought it up, let's do the origin story. Let's hear how this came to be.
Well, you heard a little bit about my boat. My boat is simple. It's most of my boating, whether it started, it really, like, my commercial boating history started on big boats and like progressively got smaller. Mm-hmm. And so the last thing I did professionally on the water, as I was an Outward Bound instructor up here in the San Juans on roughly the same boats that we have at the Maritime Center now. So ship's boats, it's mm-hmm. Sailor, it's your, in a good day, you're rowing 2 knots. And so the currents that go 7 mm-hmm. knots, you exist in supplication to them, right?
At the mercy of.
Yeah, very much so. Well, in unison with. Otherwise,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, don't fight it.
But it's really where I re-fell in love with this area and it's where I re-fell in love with being on the water.
Yeah.
And that's been a lot of my boating for my adult life has been on rowboats and sailboats. And there was a mug up at the 20, must have been 13 Wooden Boat Festival at the beer garden with a bunch of us, you know, folks who were just small boaters who were like, what do we do to get more people into this thing? Cause it's affordable. It's a great way to be on the water. And honestly, I just hated all the ideas that were coming out.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, they were great, but it was like, let's go around Maristone. I was like, no one's going to care about that. Like, let's pick up trash off the beach. I'm like, that's good. But like, no one's going to care who picked up the most trash. And mm-hmm. I am in my best days. I'm in it for the showbiz or like, I like a good dramatic hook. I like the flash. And at some point, and this was like maybe 2 beers in, so pretty, pretty lightly lubricated idea. I said something like, what if we just said we nailed $10,000 to a tree in Alaska and said, go get it.
Wow.
And I was like, wait a minute, that came out of my mouth. That's something. There's
so is that
something
what happened?
There.
Did you just say it? And you're like, oh my gosh.
I totally did. And everyone looked at me like I was an idiot. And then, but it was like, something's there. There's yeah. something yeah. there.
And wow. there was obviously.
I'm so
now, how many years later now?
Well, this is, I think.
It started in 15.
15, right? We had to take 2 years off. So I think right. this is year 6 or 7. Math's not my
Doesn't
strong
matter.
Suit.
Yeah.
And there have been some amazing stories and adventures had by all. We featured some, the trailer for.
Yeah, the documentary.
The documentary. Wow. And,
did you guys see the documentary?
Yeah.
Yes.
So wow. good.
Wow. I know.
I'm like, biased, but so good.
Well, you're in it and you're good. Yeah.
They actually gave me an IMDb page. Like it says starring
Jake Beatty,
yeah. which I think is hilarious because
nice.
Of all the people to play myself, I think I do a pretty, pretty convincing job.
Yeah. I'm convinced.
You're a perfect guest on the Boat Geeks because I remember in for the 38th annual Wooden Boat Festival, Pacific Northwest Boater, we did a video. We did a few videos for the Wooden Boat Festival, and you were kind enough to let us interview you. And
the 38th? Was I there already
you
still?
You had just started.
Whoa.
I
was
so,
just a pup.
Yeah, you were brand new, but you're in the video, and we'll have to play the clip because it's great. It's my it's my favorite part. Well, that and the Virginia 5 going out of Point Hudson. That was always thrilling. But you basically said you are just a boat dork.
I am. I still am.
I loved that because that's yeah. I'm like, oh, you're my kind of guy.
We were this close to calling ourselves a boat dork. But
there's a copyright infringement.
Yes,
clearly.
Exactly. You have it. So the I think what really appeals to me about the race to Alaska is the adventure aspect. I think that's what appeals to me in boating in general. I love, since I was a kid, Star Wars, Star Trek, the idea of just going out and adventuring, discovering. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about boating. That's why I love cruisers and the Pacific Northwest. I mean, there's just so much to see up here. And I think the Race to Alaska really appeals to me in a spectator way.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not have what it takes, at least not at this point, and maybe never. But I just see the excitement in the participants' eyes, and when they're explaining, you know, because there's some documentaries that people made on their own, and so much footage to see people participating in that race. I think it's just really something special. So great idea.
Obviously.
So way to go.
Yeah. Turns out. Yeah. So far, so good.
Great idea.
How has the Race to Alaska done in terms of raising the awareness level of the Maritime Center? I mean, because that's a shining star for the Maritime Center.
Yeah. You know, I can answer that question kind of obliquely. I think it was the first thing that we did that wasn't there was a slightly departure from everything we'd done before. It was the beginning of us living into the aspiration of this campus. It was really, you know, from a scope and scale size, it was never meant just to be in service of Port Townsend, right? There's 9,000 people in Port Townsend. There's no reason we need a 27,000 square foot campus, right? From the beginning, there was always, whether it was understood or not, there's sort of this implied mandate to do more, right? Mm-hmm. To do more for this boating community, to do more to connect more and more people to the water, and to do so in a way that felt as authentic to us today as the Wooden Boat Festival starting felt to the people that started that. Mm-hmm. And so it felt like it was the next sort of like piton in the yeah, rock faces, yeah, you know, of us climbing to our future.
Cool.
And it really led to a bunch of interesting new projects. Like, I think it's pretty easy to draw a line between starting the Race to Alaska and, 48 North magazine coming on. And then when we brought on Salish Sea Expeditions, which was a marine science nonprofit that we acquired 5 years ago now, like there's a pretty, from what we were able to do and the way people started paying attention to us in a different way,
yeah,
I think they started paying attention to Port Townsend in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so it was really like being who we are now really led, like, and this is one of those like leadership lessons for me. It's like, if you can be fully who you are, like there's usually power in that. And that I think really for the Maritime Center led us to a bunch of doors opening that we didn't even know existed before.
Wow.
Great way to put it.
Blew those doors open, I would imagine too.
Yeah. And as a boater and living in the Port Townsend area, I'm very proud of our Maritime Center. Like it's,
we are.
You know, thanks.
Like, yeah. There's,
you're like a beacon. You know, you're the flagship.
Not that I intermittently flash people.
Well, no. But, I mean, we've got Boat Haven, we've got the Boat Yard, which is just really famous. And then the Maritime Center.
Yeah.
I think
Port Townsend, I think the Maritime Center and the Wooden Boat Festival are really part of this symbiotic ecosystem in Port Townsend that I don't know that exists anywhere else, at least that I haven't seen. Yeah. And that it's us and the festival as one big set of, you know, ways to translate and engage people.
Yeah.
There's the boat school that trains people that maybe get excited and they come to the Wooden Boat Festival and then they head there. Then they head to, you know, the Boat Yard and Boat Haven and the port as sort of like a supporter of craft tradespeople. Mm-hmm. And then I think about all the spinoff businesses that, like, I think about Port Townsend Foundry, about Eden Saw, about these things that, like, if you didn't live here, you would make a pilgrimage to come just to, like, hang out in Eden Saw's wood shop or, like, look at the foundries. I mean, it's pretty fun that we have the opportunity to, like, exist within a 5-minute drive of all these places.
Yeah. And I think there's the only other place in the country that I can think even comes close would be Mystic Seaport.
Yeah, but like,
but that's not even,
it's a museum.
Yeah, that's about it.
I think if you count, it's, I'm not aware of the Marine Trade community in and around Mystic that is as vibrant
as
ours.
That's just it. There isn't anything quite like this anywhere.
And I would say, and I would imagine you get people coming up fairly regularly saying some certain aspect of the Maritime Center changed the course in their life. For example, it did me and my family. As I mentioned, we moved here, you know, 6 years ago. I moved from Santa Cruz, California, so another coastal town and a lot of boats around me, but I didn't have the same interest in boats that I do now. And when we moved here in August, 6 years ago, right before the Wooden Boat Festival, went to the Wooden Boat Festival. My wife and I, it just like awakened something in us, all these old, beautiful boats and the history. I've always loved history and talking to all the owners or the operators, and which led to us buying our own wooden boat a few slips down here, which led to my daughter participating in the summer camps and the programs. And so, and I can definitely say that all of that changed the course of my life, which, you know,
I'm sorry.
On some level. And like I said earlier, I blame you for all of it.
We wouldn't be here right now.
We wouldn't. That not, we really wouldn't. Yeah. And, you know, I think, I'm sure, like I said at the beginning of this, I think you probably hear that from time to time, people coming up and saying, this really meant something to me. This, I now, you know, work in the industry because of you guys or whatever. Is that something that you do here?
I mean, I can even, I mean, my first experience with Port Townsend was rowing a longboat, one of those open ships boats from our Outward Bound base camp up in Anacortes to the Wooden Boat Festival in 2001.
Whoa.
That, like, I remember, like, rowing in through the breakwater Point Hudson and I was just like, what is this carnival? Like, wow. Is this heaven?
Yes.
Like, it's, yeah, it's something, it's especially the Wooden Boat Festival, I feel like. Yeah. But I think increasingly other events that we do, like Race to Alaska or anything, but it's, yeah, anytime you can turn on a light bulb and show someone like their own potential and show them a new opportunity that they didn't know existed, you know, it's a pretty powerful thing.
I remember reading, you know, I've always had interest, as I mentioned, you know, my sci-fi background and just exploration. But I remember reading the Hornblower series when I was young, and I read all those books multiple times, and there was always something about the crew and working together and overcoming obstacles and so forth. But yeah, I think speaking of the Wooden Boat Festival, it is something magical. And let's talk about the Wooden Boat Festival, because obviously that's something that people around the world are aware of. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked to people that, you know, from as far away as Australia that know about the Wooden Boat Festival in Port Townsend. So what is your experience with it? What have you seen change over the years and the growth? And yeah, tell us a little bit about the festival.
Well, it's easy and maybe too easy and too simple and falsely simple to start with, like, what it is, right? Mm-hmm. It is a gathering of wooden boats and wooden boats enthusiasts, and the biggest one in North America. So I think ours has, you know, depending on the year, between 200 and 300 boats, both in the harbor at Point Hudson and on shore. And sometimes
and it is heaven, like
it's
you said.
So good.
It's so good.
And the reason I love it so much, even at just the boat level, is that it is an expression of the wooden boat culture of here, very intentionally. And in that, you know, I went to the wooden boat show at Mystic and noticed the nomenclature difference. The wooden boat show in Mystic and it's the wooden boat festival in Port Townsend. Yeah. And I didn't fully appreciate it till I went to the wooden boat show and the boats were immaculate.
Sure.
And they were like, it was like wall to wall, flawless hair shafts.
Yeah.
Just as far as the eye can see.
For display only.
Well, some of them went out, but like there wasn't the same level of West Coast, like
it wasn't community oriented. It seems like
it was different. Well, so it is what it is. And it's relevant to that culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reason I think ours is so great is because, you know, I'm from Bellingham and like, you know, West Coast is a little less polished, you know, we're a little more, I don't know, sarcastic or, you know, there's
rough around the edges.
There's a salt. I mean, the Wooden Boat Festival in Port Townsend started around a campfire and a bunch of hippies and a bottle of wine and whatever they were smoking.
Yeah.
And like that community spirit has gone through all the way. And so, you know, as much as I love the fantastic, you know, Lake Union Dream boats or the absolutely flawless schooners or, you know, private yachts that show up, there's always something weird and wingnut that happens, right? Like one of my favorite, so the two of my favorite Wooden Boat Festival memories of just the boats, you know, this was maybe 10, 15 years ago now. There was somebody like cobbled together driftwood on pallets and stuck an outboard to it and just like powered in, just kind of like rapscallioned in, right? And just it was perfect.
Pirate fashion.
Just pirated in.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Brad Rice on Whidbey Island, this is maybe 10 years ago too, designed a folding 52-foot boat that was designed to fold up into a 20-foot container.
What?
Because the owner wanted to ship a 20-foot container to Europe to do canals, but wanted his boat to be 52 foot long for
My goodness.
And so there was this weirdo, they called it the Frog Prince. It was
Transformer.
Like stuff that just wouldn't fly.
Right.
But part of the celebration.
Yeah.
And I guess the other part is, you know, there's the boats that you can go do. There's a million activities.
Yeah.
There are 100 or so presentations from worldwide experts who continually tell us, like, the people that show up in Port Townsend, like, they present all over the place. They're like, the people in Port Townsend are better informed. They ask better questions because they're all boat geeks.
Yeah.
And then the party goes on until like the neighbors complain, basically. Right. So like every night, and this is getting harder for me, like I try to be the last one out. And it's not easy because, you know,
captain goes
contenders.
Down with the ship.
That's right.
Yeah. You've got lots of vendors, all kinds of interesting, you know, ship or boat related products and people with knowledge. Great food. I always, that corn on the cob near the entrance always gets me. Lots of great beer, just everything. It's such a good time. Like
it is.
You can get lost there. You lose the time, you lose just everything. And I do really think it's, obviously everybody does thinks it's something immensely special. And I do agree. It is such a great representation of this boating community in the Pacific Northwest. I love it. I mean, it's just such a good time. So I hope people get out here. That is September 6th to 8th this year. I think another thing that sticks out for me with the boat festival is that when you go there, it's not about any particular kind of boat. Like you said, you have people that have a little rowboat that they just, you can see how much love they have for that boat and just every aspect, every, and you can see it in the workmanship and how much they're caring for it and just cleaning it off after people, you know, and they love that boat. And then up to 60-foot working boats, you know, that are not showroom polished, but have so much interesting, you know, history, and the people that are on board want to talk to you all about it. And it's just a great time.
I think the passion is the,
it's the passion.
It's the comment. There was a few years ago, there was an all purple boat. It was like painted purple. The interior is purple.
Yeah,
the owners wore
that.
Purple. It was weird.
My wife's favorite color is purple. So we noticed
they were way into it. And I was like, you okay.
Yeah.
Good. Good on you. I think the other thing that I find great about the festival is that there's a balance of things staying the same and things changing. Cause I think that's also kind of a West Coast thing, right? Like we never stand still.
Yep.
So one of the things I'm most proud of the last year, and it's into the future, we created something called the Future of Maritime Tent, which is essentially our attempt to try to welcome in people other than like white guys with beards.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there is a representation issue and where there's not a lot of space for people of color, for women, for queer folks.
Yep.
And so we basically was like, let's be intentional about making sure that everyone's welcome to the Wooden Boat Festival, because like that's how this started, right? It's wooden boats in the 70s were a thing because it was the accessible way to get on the water. So let's continue that tradition in the future.
Inclusiveness. Cool. And you can read about that on the website at nwmaritime.org. I did check that out this morning. Amazing. You know, again, everything. I would highly recommend everybody go check out nwmaritime.org. You can spend hours there. Like I said, I was overwhelmed with how much you guys are doing and involved with in a very positive way.
Subscribe to the newsletter.
Yes.
We just today.
Just got this one this morning saying the camps are coming
camps.
Up.
Oh, yeah.
So
they fill up fast.
Yeah.
So.
They
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
So I was just talking.
Don't release this till you sign up with your daughters.
I know, right? Like, we were driving. My wife dropped me off and she's like, oh, well, then we got to get her signed up right away.
Yeah.
But you can also check the Maritime Center out on Facebook at Northwest Maritime Center, all written out. And then on Instagram at NW_Maritime. You guys have stuff just going on all the time.
Yeah.
So it's something you want to check back out or check on regularly.
We might have to have Jake come back and give us an update.
If Jake will come back to us, then we would absolutely love to.
War and Peace, the sequel. I'm on it.
Exactly. Is there anything you want to hit on before we close up this episode? Is there anything on your mind?
The sun has set.
Yeah, right.
The sun has set.
The natural lighting man has decided to fade to black. Just that, you know, there's a lot of exciting stuff we're doing beyond just the Port Townsend area. In fact, we're being asked increasingly to provide some educational leadership role in the Seattle area, where we're helping to start the area's first maritime standalone high school. Wow. We're actually been asked to do a feasibility study for starting a maritime college on the Olympic Peninsula.
Oh, my goodness.
And lots of other things about, like, you know.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
It's pretty nice. And I think it's a nod to every, you know, the legacy of 47 years of building from a wooden boat festival.
Everybody's blood, sweat, and tears that have happened over the decades has led to what you're able to do now. And that's just full circle. And then it comes back into the boating community and people who are supporting everything that you're doing. And what a wonderful program you guys are doing.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work, as they say.
That is it for this episode of The Boat Geeks. We've had Jake Beattie from the Northwest Maritime Center And I'm Darren.
I'm Darren.
And we'll see you next time.
And he's an honorary Darren.
Yes, honorary Darren today.
Darren for the day.
Cheers, guys.
I'm daydreaming of a day. I'm not wasting my time. Don't wait till I come alive. Sail away. I'm gonna sail away. Like being in the sunshine. Waking me up on the bright side. Living for a better day. I'm gonna sail away. Yeah, I try to to the fullest, there's beauty in everything. I try to notice holograms form from the wind through the trees. There's gotta be more in this world left for me. Sing hallelujah from the basement floor. And I'm still holding out for so much more. Oh, I'm daydreaming of the day. I'm not in this too deep. Sing hallelujah on the basement floor. Yeah, I'm still holding out for so much more. Yeah, I'm daydreaming of the